the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Wild and free.
Hey,
high class style country to the core.
Welcome to Rant and Wrestling. This is your boy Doomsday 519. And yeah, this is episode 180. 180, right?
Or 181. One of
the two. No, it's 180 because I remember because last week was the whole 179 fiasco that we had apparently had to do over again. But yeah, so we're back at it. We're back on our bullshit. But we are without our Pootie, so this is a two-man power trip going on. So of course, the Triple H to my Stone Cold, because yeah, he is that. is my co-host, the man from the West Side, West Side Goth.
Yay, yay.
Yeah. All right, so some shit happened. Gonna break down some stuff from New Japan, WWE, news, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, of course, we're gonna start off with New Japan and their event that happened. It was the Last Destruction event, correct?
Yeah, and the Destruction shows are, I think it was my second or third of Destruction shows since being able to follow New Japan all the time.
Right.
So they're really kind of like shows that just sort of kind of help set up the direction for the last, four major tours,
yeah.
I guess, because we have World Tag League, Junior Tag League, and some other stuff happening. So, Destruction shows were just like, whatever. But, the third one was pretty good. Uh-huh. And I guess the best of them.
And one thing I had just learned from last week that I didn't mention was, apparently, there was a Destruction show from, like, I think it was, like, 2011 or 2012, that I think when they were doing the posters and shit, like, it was extremely offensive. Like, they put out, like, it had, like, Nazi, like, emblems and shit all over it and stuff. Like, New Japan put that shit out.
And, yeah, New Japan has an odd fascination with swastikas. Kind of like Frank Miller from comic books.
Yeah, because they had the swastika, and I think they had some SS, shit on it. And there was enough backlash that they took it down eventually. But yeah, I'll just, because it was an article that I was reading on racism in wrestling. I think they brought up what was going on with the whole Jinder Mahal Shinsuke thing, and they brought up that yeah, it's not only WWE, other promotions have pulled bullshit, and they mentioned New Japan. So yeah, just a little tidbit there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember Chris Hero would occasionally, if he was overseas, if he found weird stuff with swastikas on it, he would take the picture and make this face like, what? And then put it online.
Wow.
I mean, I know he's done it a few times in Germany and Japan specifically. So, yeah. Swastikas. They're everywhere. All right. So, Joe, and I skipped a bit ahead, but I'll tell you who won the matches I didn't watch. Hiroshi Kawato and Hiroyoshi Tenzin. Yeah, Kojima's still, I think Kojima's just finally left Mexico, because he was down there for the few weeks, and he stayed down there helping with the charity donations, you know, which CMLL was collecting a bunch. So he was down there during the earthquake and a little bit after helping out. So I think he's only just left the country. So, thank you, Kojima, for your hard work. But yeah, so Kawato and Kojima's usual partner, Tenzin, defeated Monster Rage, which is I kept not remembering the tag name for Katsuya Kitamaro and Tomoyuki Oka. It is Monster Rage. So there you go. And they're teaming enough that I would not be surprised if they show up in the World Tag League as, you know, the loser team. But, you know, sometimes they like throwing a young lion there to lose. All right, next match we had Taguchi Japan, essentially, Ricochet, Ryusuke Taguchi, Jushin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask, and Togi Makabe defeating the mostly junior Suzuki Gun with the big Iron Claw dude. So there's that. Okay, this is where I started watching. Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi defeated Bad Luck Fale and Chase Owens. This was actually a pretty good match. Chase Owens seems to be getting a lot more, bookings for New Japan. I guess ever since he kind of dropped what he was doing to do the, Super Junior Tournament last year, they were like, we can rely on this guy even if we're just going to have him lose matches every show.
Right.
So, you know. Better to be losing money, losing on shows and making money overseas than, you know, doing indie dates, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's really good in there. Yoshihashi picked up the win with the Karma. We've got, Beretta making his official singles debut as a heavyweight wrestler, defeating Yujiro Takahashi. And this was a very good match, and people who don't like Yujiro Takahashi will tell you this was a good match, so... Yeah, Yujiro was hitting all his greatest hits moves, so he hit both of his old finishers in there as well. You know, Beretta looked really good.
Like, in the past, like, 3 or 4 years, he's had, like, 3 different finishers. Yujiro.
Yeah, he's doing that low-angle DT called Pimp Juice now.
Yeah.
But I used to like his odd swinging Death Valley driver finisher. Yeah. I always thought that was a strange move.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah. And so he hit that. It looked nice as fuck. He hit the Dominator and all that shit. But they protected the Pimp Juice DDT, which was smart. But it was a very good match. Crowd got into it towards the end. All right, moving on. The third of these tag team matches, which this one was Texas Tornado, so everyone just was beating each other up. KES, Killer Elite Squad, finally won. After War Machine won the first two on the other two shows, so KES have captured the tag team titles. It was a pretty good match. And then we had, this was actually a really good tag match. Tanahashi and Michael Elgin defeated David Finlay and Kota Ibushi. I mean, come on, it had Kota Ibushi, Finlay, Tanahashi, Elgin. That's a just great talent. I hope they figure out something to do with Finlay. I know that this roster is pretty fucking stacked right now, but he seems happy. He posted about how he's, I don't know, him and Fale had an exchange the other day I thought was funny, and Fale was like, welcome to the 100 Air Club, we ballin'. So, speaking of Fale, him and Tama Tonga filmed something for a New Zealand program. I'm sure he'll link to a YouTube when it gets put up. So, yeah, if you follow their Instagram, you saw pictures of them in those, I think they're called yukatas, those traditional robes, wandering around. It was for that program. All right, we got a 6-man tag, Rocky Romero, Tomohiro Ishii, Toru Yano, defeated Bushi, Sonata, and Tetsuya Naito. Pretty good match. It was, you know, to push more heat for the Ishii, Naito stuff happening.
Right.
If you're not following all of New Japan, you probably missed that Ishii has been having a trilogy of matches himself. So obviously, we know about the Omega Okada trilogy or the Tanahashi Naito trilogy, but Ishii had a trilogy of matches with Omega himself that culminated with the U.S. title tournament. And the upcoming match against Naito is a trilogy of matches, too, because Ishii's defeated him in the U.S. title tournament and the G1 tournament. Ishii. Still one of just the most underrated wrestlers out there. He's fucking great. And he just got announced to face Keith Lee in the UK, so... Shit, right?
Yeah, that's gonna be crazy, man.
Yeah. Okada and Will Ospreay defeated Evil and Hiromu Takahashi. Okada finally was able to hit the Rainmaker on Evil, building more heat for their upcoming pay-per-view match. This was another great match. Then we got the main event. Kenny Omega, of course, defeated Juice Robinson. Really good match. He won it with a super, or avalanche, depending on what you like to call it, but the one-wing angel off the turnbuckles, which was the second turnbuckle, actually, which was impressive. This was a very, very good match. Overall, really good show, but the destruction shows in general, kind of skippable. But what isn't skippable is what's going to be happening coming up for New Japan. Because we got King of Pro Wrestling on Monday, October 9th. This is their big pay-per-view before Wrestle Kingdom. I got the card right here. We got Leo Tonga, Yujiro Takahashi, and Bad Luck Fale taking on Los Ingobernables de Japón team of Hiromu Takahashi, Bushi, and Sonata. And we haven't had too many Bullet Club versus LIJ matches outside of G1, so that's pretty damn cool. We got Yano and Goto teaming up against Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. I think, I'm not sure what they're going to, because Goto's been teaming up with random people from Chaos this whole time, but this is mainly to, I think, set up Yano versus Suzuki for Power Struggle, because Yano beat Suzuki at the G1.
Yeah.
But I also think it'll give us a glimpse of a Suzuki-Sabre tag team if they choose to do that for the tag tournament, which I have a little bit of news coming up. They officially announced Ricochet and Ryusuke Taguchi versus the unknown Roppongi 3K, which will probably be Yohei and Sho, the Tempura Boys, from the sounds of it.
Yep.
And I've seen a little bit of their stuff in CMLL. I haven't caught any of their stuff in Ring of Honor, but you know those guys were good as Young Lions, and they were doing some real good stuff in Mexico, so I look forward to seeing them show up. Once again, Ghetto is just doesn't care about the tag division, so we're getting another three-way tag match between War Machine, KES, and God, except this time it's going to be an elimination match.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. I'm assuming KES keeps the title. Here's another interesting match. We got members of Chaos, Jado, Beretta, and Yoshihashi taking on Bullet Clubs, Marty Scurll, Cody, and Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega is defending the U.S. title against Yoshihashi at one of the Ring of Honor dates next month. So, but I expect with Cody and Marty Scurll showing up, we might get some stuff to going on with Scurll and Cody, so we'll find out. We got Togi Makabe and Tanahashi taking on Juice Robinson and Kota Ibushi. Tanahashi and Ibushi will be facing off at Power Struggle as Tanahashi defends his IC title. I'm sorry, not Power Struggle, but they'll... Yeah, Power Struggle. Because King of Pro Wrestling has other main events.
Right.
The other major title match we have for King of Pro Wrestling, we have Kushida defending the title against challenger Will Ospreay. And I would not be surprised if Will Ospreay wins the title. He's already lost to Kushida three times in New Japan, and I believe he lost to him once in Rev Pro. So I would not be surprised if Will Ospreay won, especially with his semi-feud going on with Hiromu Takahashi. Some people are even suggesting maybe, just maybe, a triple threat match at Wrestle Kingdom between all these guys, which would actually be pretty cool. Then we got the challenge for the contract at Tokyo Dome as Ishii challenges Naito, who he's beaten twice so far this year. Probably going to lose, but it's Ishii and Naito, so you know the match is going to be hot. And then finally, the main event, Kazuchika Okada defends the IWGP Heavyweight title against the king of all evil, Darkness. And on top of all that, we have the first official team in Tag League will be the beloved Tenkozy. Kojima and Tenzin obviously will be there. And New Japan has officially announced the return of the Young Lion Cup. And we are going to be having a league tournament across the Lionsgate projects among the six Young Lions who are not injured, because Hinar and the one guy whose name was really hard for me to pronounce are actually injured. I know Hinar will be coming back, I think, next year. The other guy, I'm not sure. I think his injury was pretty bad. But technically, there's eight Young Lions. Six of them are not injured, so they're doing the league thing with the six wrestlers. So the first three matches will be Kawato versus Ren Narita, who I haven't seen Ren wrestle. Katsuyu Kitamaro versus Tetsuhiro Yagi, who I also haven't seen wrestle, and Tomo Yukioka versus Yota Umuna. And then there's like a few other matches with Nakanishi taking on some guy from a different promotion, Tenkozy taking on guys from, I believe, K-Dojo, and Nagata headlining with another guy I'm not familiar with. But, so, return of the Young Lions Cup. So, that's pretty cool for the Young Lions. They'll have something to wrestle over on the start of these shows. And, that's it. Still waiting on word for who's going to be in the Junior Tag League, but we probably won't find out until after King of Pro Wrestling. And that is everything I got from New Japan.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yep. And I just, I have the stuff for No Mercy out. Do you want me to start go through it while we talk?
Yep,
to
order? As well. Let's get it.
All right, so No Mercy was this Sunday. And before I start, I want to say this pay-per-view might be, in my opinion, the best WWE pay-per-view of this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to go off to say that. First off, we got the pre-show match. Were you able to catch that?
Shit, which one? Was there two or just one?
Elias defeated Apollo Crews.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, I saw that. There wasn't another one before that?
Nope, it was just that one.
Just that one? Okay, gotcha.
So, it was okay. You know, it was a pre-show match. I mean, not the only guys I know, there's only a few guys I think when they're on the pre-show go all out, and they're called the New Day and Usos, so... But, you know.
Yeah.
Then we got our first match of the main show. The man should have been on the main show last fucking time. We got The Miz with The Miztourage defending his title successfully against Jason Jordan. Goddamn, this match was fun as fuck.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I mean.
Just people hate Jason Jordan, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, but they were cheering when he was hot on those moves, wasn't he?
I know, right? When he's
Dan's fickle as fuck, man.
That's the hypocritical nature of fans these days. I don't know. Like,
they'll cheer for some shit and then go around saying you both suck, you still suck. Like, shut the fuck up.
Shut up. Yeah, come on now.
It's like you were loving it when he was tossing motherfuckers around.
Hell yeah.
Jason Jordan looks great. And I think this is important. I know we both shit on Max Landis, but he wrote up a bit about The Miz the other day that got collected in one of those Twitter moments that I suggest, if you haven't seen it, to check it out and everyone else. It's a kind of an interesting look at Miz from a writing narrative perspective. The idea of him being the anti-chosen one, something like that he's always seems to fight, go up against chosen ones or guys who are being big, and that's kind of one of his shticks, and it's probably why he's had such success, because he was against, you know, John Cena, he's been against Daniel Bryan, he's coming out against Roman Reigns. It's a very interesting bit.
Yeah,
and, you know, they're generally right. So, check that out if you haven't. Miz should be the Universal Champion as far as I'm concerned. We got anything else to say about this match?
No, not really. It was dope, but... Yeah.
And Miz is one of the few guys that if he cheats, I'm okay with.
I just hated how the fans like just...
Yeah. Fans are not good. Alright, this next match was better than I expected, especially because the last two I didn't really care about. But I actually liked Finn Balor defeating Bray Wyatt. With Bray Wyatt attacking him at the beginning of this match, this one had a bit more heat to it. They looked better against each other. Overall, I dug this match. I mean, of course, Bray Wyatt lost, but, you know, the only way he's going to win a match is if John Cena tells the company he should win a match from the sounds of it. So, yeah, I enjoyed this one. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was dope.
What you think about Finn Balor's gray, or what is it, light blue tights? Grayish blue tights?
It was gray, but I thought it was interesting. Was like I don't normally see that color, the way it is. I think Seth Rollins had some tights that were close to that color before.
Yeah, and I want to say I think Finn Balor is an underrated seller. He was really good at selling the ribs throughout the match. Had a fun time with that. All right, now I think I liked this match better than some of the reviews I've seen, which they all liked it, but I really fucking liked this match, and I'm going to put it on my at least top five WWE matches so far this year. But Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose defeating Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
God damn.
I don't know if this was better than the Usos' New Day matches, the last few that I've seen, personally.
Well, that's an interesting thing. I missed the one on SmackDown because I don't watch SmackDown. But I remember being really hot that their pre-show match was on the pre-show because that shit was better than 80% of that last pay-per-view.
Right.
I would say, though, WWE's tag stuff, even though they don't know what to do with tag teams, when they got certain guys in there, they acting like that shit's the main event.
Yeah.
And that shit is beautiful.
Oh, and then Cesaro, man. Jesus.
Yeah.
He didn't even break his teeth. That's the crazy part about it. He didn't break them. They fucking got pushed into his gums. That's sick, dude. I've never seen that happen before.
Yeah. What I found was funny is Kayfabe News was like, it looks like Cesaro needs to go see Isaac Yankem DDS, and then like 10 minutes later they tweet out a picture like, we're going to go see Isaac Yankem DDS.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that shit was gnarly. I really, really liked this match, but you do make a good point. I would say that I think we can agree that among WWE feuds, the Usos' New Day is probably arguably the best feud of WWE this year.
Yeah.
But this tag team feud, I would put in the top five as well. For being short, it's been really, really hot. So the tag division kind of eclipsing some of their other stuff going on. Man, that finishing stretch was crazy, too.
Yep.
All right. And then another match, even though I'm getting tired of these women fatal four-way, fatal five-ways, I cannot argue with results because Alexa Bliss defeated Bayley, Emma, Nia Jax, and Sasha Banks
great
in
match.
An excellent match.
Great match.
Yeah. And I noticed that they're protecting Nia Jax by not having her take the fall in this match. They don't want her to lose to the champion. I'm assuming that Alexa Bliss is probably going to drop the title to Asuka, but I wonder what that means for Nia Jax. They've done a pretty good job of protecting her as dangerous, but I guess I could see why they wouldn't want her to take the title off Alexa Bliss and then lose it to Asuka, because you're pretty sure they're going to lose, whoever's the champion is going to lose it to Asuka.
Yep.
But, man, Nia Jax was fucking killing it, and that powerbomb thing they did on the outside was brutal as fuck to her. But that concludes essentially the first half of the show, and first half of the show was AA+, as far as I was concerned. Well, I think the second half of the show was not as good. I still thought it was pretty good, other than one thing, but yeah.
Yeah.
We got Roman Reigns defeated John Cena. I thought it was fine. I don't know, Cena seemed a little weird to me during this match, kind of like he wasn't taking it like he would take AJ Styles seriously, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think that kind of hurt it a little
somebody,
bit.
Somebody was pointing out that, like, yeah, he was HBKing him, basically. Because you know how Shawn Michaels faced Hulk Hogan, and he oversold the shit out of, like, everything. In that one match from, like, I think it was, like, 2004, 2005 or some shit like that.
Yeah.
That was one of the most ridiculous fucking matches just because Shawn Michaels wanted to do flip all over the place. But it felt a little bit, it felt like that, but to a lesser extent during the beginning.
Yeah, and you know, he was doing a lot of the Shawn Michaels smiling to the crowd. I mean, he always does that, but it was on another level this one. I thought it was good. I mean, it's, you know, Cena's good. Roman Reigns. I like Roman. I mean, Cena's one of the great of all times, and Roman still has a while to get there, but Roman did what he had to do, and of course the crowd's reaction was a bit interesting. I guess they liked Cena a bit more than Reigns.
Yeah,
I still found the ending of this match after it was over with Cena confusing, but whatever.
Yeah.
It was good. I liked it. Then we had the worst part of the show, which I guess they sort of rebounded on with Raw, but you'll talk about that.
Yep.
But Enzo Amore almost single-handedly ruins 205 Live is the best way to refer to this. That was very, very depressing,
And I'm going to just move on, okay?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. All right. And then in the main event, which was another pretty good match, though I guess some of us were expecting a little bit more, but, you know, it has Lesnar in it. Brock Lesnar successfully defended his title against Braun Strowman.
It was weak to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I could buy that. I didn't have as much of a problem with that because
it just felt weird because, like, you have Roman Reigns on one hand who, like, took, like, four AAs, right, to eventually beat John Cena, and Braun ended up taking one F5 and he was done. And he's supposed to be that, like, juggernaut type character, you know?
I am kind of annoyed by that, but he did beat Samoa Joe with, I think, just one F5 last time.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing they're trying to go back to the F5 being, like,
protected somewhere in
some
way.
Which is a weird thing to do now since, you know, he did, like, a half a dozen of those against Taker, at least two or three of those against Roman Reigns one time. So it's a weird thing to just start rehabbing the move. It is a bit annoying. Like, if this match had happened instead of versus Samoa Joe, you know, I'd have been more angry. But now it's like, well, Joe didn't get to kick out of one. I still would have wanted Braun to kick out of one, but I guess I see what they're trying to do. It's not exactly smart. I'm guessing maybe if the idea that maybe he dropped him on that shoulder he worked on a little bit could have helped. You know, I can kind of understand what they were going for. It just didn't look nearly as well as I think they had laid out. But, yeah, I didn't hate it. I mean, my threshold, of course, for bad Brock Lesnar matches is him versus Dean Ambrose, and I rate this one higher. Not one of the best Lesnar matches, but far from the worst.
Yeah.
I think my second least favorite Brock Lesnar match is the first one he had when he returned in the first place against Cena, where he pretty much just beat the shit out of Cena, and then Cena hit him with the chain,
mm-hmm.
and then the one AA on top of the steel steps and won.
Right.
I think that's my second least favorite one, because that made no sense to me either. Because, like, the next time they would fight, Lesnar would just absolutely destroy Cena.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, the booking on Lesnar's always weird, but if people didn't like this match, I don't disagree. It's not a good match. I just don't think it's that bad. I just don't think it's the worst we could have gotten. And I think we all were just a little disappointed that Braun Strowman didn't win anyway.
Yeah.
But overall, this is where Pootie would ask, what we give it out of 10. I'm going to go high. I'm going to actually give it 9 out of 10.
Me, I was going to go with a 8.5 out of 10. Not quite 9.
Yeah, I'm overshooting. That first half of that show was like what, like the middle of a New Japan card or the last half of a New Japan card to me. Just like almost every match got better and better. But yeah, 8.5 is real good. Highly recommended. Better than the last fucking pay-per-view. Which I think the last pay-per-view was really just a main event type card.
Yeah.
Alright, so we are done with the big shows, so you know what that means, right?
Raw. Oh, yep. And one thing I had to mention, we forgot to mention the freaking Bullet Club quote-unquote invasion
that happened. No, that was at Raw. I figured you'd just get to it then.
Yeah, we might as well get to it now. Well, I'm talking about it now, because we're about to talk about that. Of course, the Bullet Club invasion happened. I'm putting air quotes or whatever. They had a whole legion of fans and whatever. They had megaphones. They were trying to get Cody's name back, try to rescue their friends. It was kind of lame to me. You know?
You know, I thought the same thing about the DX WCW one. I mean, I thought it was a very cool concept. But I didn't like DX in the first place, so it was sort of shrug-worthy because they didn't really get to do anything other than have the tank.
Right.
And then, I mean,
I don't know.
They got to take a picture with Jimmy Jacobs, though, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so like I heard by the time the show started, the crowd just dispersed and went into the arena and shit.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me.
So it was just like one and done, and then that was it. I don't know, it's whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that, of course, happened with it is that they got, you know, more Twitter mentions and stuff.
Right.
So, I mean, it is a different era now, so I guess anything to get the social media stand out there. Because Bullet Club is still probably New Japan's best advertising weapon outside of Japan.
Yeah. Can't deny that.
Yeah. I think Deano Peraza was there, but I don't know for sure.
Oh, that's not surprising.
Tweeted out about it.
Yeah, that's not surprising, though, since she's Marty's girl or whatever.
Yeah. What they need to do is make Stephen Amell the, you know, an official celebrity member, and then find a way to get the Young Bucks on his on Arrow in some random ass wrestling sequence.
Oh god,
or some shit.
I remember when they had Cody as that one character that they fucking like straight up killed off.
Oh, like they can't really kill him off, but they beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, because like what happened was like his character was basically immune to pain and other shit and whatever, and like Arrow like sliced his like tendons and ligaments and whatever, so like he couldn't feel the pain, but he couldn't move either.
Yeah,
and then I think there was like some type of explosion that happened or whatever. So I don't even know his character. It's up in the air whether his character really survived or not. You never know. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I just like that it looks like the Young Bucks shirt is Stephen Amell's training shirt now, because whenever he does his... Because he's on social media quite a bit, so when you do see him working out, he's usually wearing a Young Bucks shirt. So, I guess everybody has their training gear.
Speaking of which, there's a comedian duo. There's a comedy duo, the Lucas Brothers. They are always in Bullet Club shirts. I don't know why. At all, like they always have these photo shoots on Instagram, and every photo shoot they have their fucking Bullet Club shirts on. Every time. You ever heard of the Lucas Brothers?
I might have online. I just probably wasn't paying too much attention.
Yeah, because they had an animated. They're two black twins.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah,
I think a lot of it has to do with just the logo for them.
Yeah.
And they've been able to adapt that logo out for so many of their guys. Because I like almost every logo they've done.
Yeah.
That's rare. The Villains Club logo, the pimp logo with the hat.
Yep.
The boss logo with the shades.
The gorilla one.
God, stuff is nice. I know Brandi Rhodes once... is hoping that they find a way to give her own Miss Nightmare Bullet Club shirt.
Of course.
Yeah. She actually... I did listen to a Cody Rhodes interview. He was talking with Chris Jericho, and, you know, they got into his name thing. And I guess there were... Somebody might be making some toys of, I guess, indie wrestlers, and they were kind of, I guess they figured out, because they can't do Cody Rhodes, at, you know, but they found out they could do Cody and Brandi Rhodes as a loophole for it.
Oh.
So if they do a toy, it'll be both of them, Cody and Brandi Rhodes, because she owns the Rhodes name for her.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so I thought that was a very amusing little tidbit of information. Yeah, he did the Jericho thing, if you want to listen to it. It's pretty interesting. Yeah, especially because apparently the last time he was on Jericho's show was actually his last day at WWE, mm-hmm. but he didn't tell anybody.
Oh, wow.
So Jericho was like, yeah, on our last show, it was you, me, and Zack Ryder talking about amusement parks. How many more days did you have with WWE? He's like, nah, man, that was my last day. I did the show and then did your podcast.
Wow.
Didn't tell anybody.
Wow.
Yeah. But it was pretty interesting. Lots of good interview podcasts out there if you want to, you know, dig through them. That's pretty much what I just wait for now, who's getting interviewed. Or listen to Don Callis shit on Disco Inferno is always funny.
Nice.
Speaking of Don Callis, he gave Rosemary a shout-out at the Destruction show when he was talking about great wrestlers from Winnipeg. because they had talked about her in a Rosemary and a Sexy Star.
Oh, okay.
He was talking about himself, Kenny Omega, and then he said, and I hear that Rosemary is really good too. You know, I'm like, it's a pretty good commentating team if you feel like listening to English, even though half the time I just still listen to it in Japanese.
Oh, I never listened to it in English. Never. I think there was like one time I listened to it in English. I was like, never again. But that was like, I think it was a year ago. So like, maybe it's better with Kevin Kelly and Don Callis. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Don Callis plays pretty much the classic heel commentator. But, you know, Kevin Kelly's researched quite a bit of stuff, so he knows what's going on and you can fill it in. And Don Callis comes in with the good remarks. And sometimes Rocky Romero is there to help us, which is good when they have to deal with translating Japanese promos, because Rocky tends to know what people are talking about.
Yeah.
Because the second Destruction show, it was just Kevin Kelly for the first half and then Rocky Romero. That one I actually switched back to Japanese because, I mean, I think Kevin Kelly's a fine commentator, but it's hard to watch shows where there's only one commentating team. I think it took PWG a few years to realize that, too. That's why Chuck Taylor does half the most of the commentary with him now.
Okay.
All right. Okay, we've diverged quite a bit, so we're all now.
Well, we've still been talking about wrestling, so it's whatever. But, yeah, Raw happened. Of course, they had Miz TV as the opener for Raw because he had asked Kurt Angle the night before. After he won, that he would like to interview Roman Reigns. So of course Roman Reigns came out. They all talked their shit, and Miz started dissing him. Roman Reigns went at it with him. Eventually, Roman Reigns basically said he'd be gunning for him now. So there was this little scuffle that went down. Kurt Angle eventually announced that there would be a match between The Miz and Roman Reigns for the IC title next week. So, yeah. Besides that, Matt Hardy and Jason Jordan ended up defeating Axel and Dallas. Elias faced Apollo Crews again. Of course, Elias ended up winning again.
Elias won more matches on Raw than he ever did in NXT.
Yep, basically, because he was virtually a jobber in NXT. And then what else happened? Kurt Hawkins was supposed to face Braun Strowman to try to beat the streak, but he was like, "Nah, I can't do this." So he got out the ring and then tried to run away, but Braun Strowman caught him, chokeslammed him through a table, dragged him onto the stage, and then power slammed him through the LED display. Left some nasty marks on Curt Hawkins' back from that shit.
Well, that's how you put heat back on a guy you just had lose to 1F5.
Right. And after that, though, was Dean Ambrose versus Braun Strowman, because Braun Strowman wanted some competition, of course. So he comes out, Braun Strowman still ends up getting a victory for that.
I saw a gif where like Dean Ambrose smacked Braun and then just fell over.
Really?
Yeah. That's funny. Know if he just popped up after taking a move and then that was his reaction.
That might have been, like, because he does that type of shit.
Yeah. I thought it would have been just funnier if he slapped Braun and then realized how stupid it was and just pretended to die right there.
Yeah. But later in the night, it would be announced that Braun Strowman would face Seth Rollins next week. So I guess he's facing both tag team guys. But after that, what went down? Alexa Bliss came out. She talked some bullshit. Basically, said she ran through the whole women's division on Raw. But then, of course, Mickie James came out and said, "You haven't ran through me." And there was just this whole exchange where Mickie was trying to goad her into telling her to her face what she said on Raw Talk, because on Raw Talk Alexa just straight up called her old. So
Yeah, these young brats, man.
Yeah, and then Alexa just kept beating around the bush, and, like, she called her old, but in, like, a different way, like, every time. But eventually, Mickey got her to say it, and then after that, little scuffle came through. Mickey hit her with a thrust kick, and looks like, I guess, Alexa will have, like, a mini feud thing with Mickey James in the meantime. After that, Seth Rollins faced Sheamus. Cesaro was actually present for this match. They said that his teeth still require surgery. But yeah, you can see, because, like, not only did his teeth go through his gums, like, his lips got all cut up, too, so he required stitches for that. And, yeah, so Sheamus ended up losing to Seth Rollins. And, yeah, there was not much of that one. But after that, Finn Balor came out, and he ran into Goldust. Earlier in the night, Finn Balor was talking some shit about Bray Wyatt victimizing people. He mentioned Goldust. Goldust didn't take kindly to it, saying that he's not a victim and whatever. And Finn Balor said that he didn't mean any ill will towards him about that, and tried to cool things down, but Goldust attacked him.
I'm all for old heel Goldust coming back.
Yeah, so, what else happened? Roman Reigns faced The Miz. He ended up winning that one. Of course, I told you about the IC title next week. Finn Balor faced Goldust. And I still find it funny they had Finn Balor face Goldust, and outside earlier in the night was freaking Cody Rhodes as part of the Bullet Club. Doing that invasion shit. So you got one person that who's tied to Bullet Club, one person who's tied to Bullet Club, and Cody Rhodes facing each other.
Yeah. Cody said he's got a special Bullet Club gear for Goldust when he's ready to leave.
That would be funny. But in the end, of course, Finn Balor won that one, because why would Goldust win? After that, Emma and Nia Jax faced Sasha Banks and Bayley. Bayley and Sasha Banks ended up picking up the victory in that one, which I barely paid attention to. And after that, Enzo Amore had his celebration, which, yeah, so we can talk about Enzo Amore in a broader sense, because, like, yeah, a lot of people, after he won, especially all the cruiserweights, vented their frustration on Twitter. They were really pissed. Cedric, Cedric is one of the ones especially. He was really pissed. But, like, everybody was pissed except Akira Tozawa. Akira Tozawa, he was like, I like him. That was weird. That was the most random thing about it. But
yeah, I saw some of the reactions. I know Drew Gulak said his shit.
Yeah,
Mustafa was like, patience, and I'm like,
patience. Yeah, I don't know. But a lot of people didn't like it. Enzo, of course, the way he won with the low blow, and then his demeanor afterwards just didn't help either. And, yeah.
It didn't help me. Someone tried to defend this shit saying it was Eddie Guerrero-like. And I'm like,
I was like,
Eddie
Guerrero
would have wrestled the fucking match first.
Fuck no. Yeah, exactly. That's the difference. Because, like, Eddie Guerrero would put on a great match and do that little cheating shit during it. But, like, Enzo, we would put on a mediocre to bad match and then pull that shit. There's a difference.
Yeah, we're talking about a guy like Eddie Guerrero whose ceiling was a 5-star match, and then Enzo's whose ceiling is maybe a solo match is a star and a half. I give him and Big Cass a broader sense of things because they complemented each other. But as a solo guy, What the fuck can he do?
As a solo guy, he has, like, maybe 2-3 moves, and he can sell decently. That's yeah. basically it that we've seen.
Yeah, that's why his tag team was great. He'd go in, he'd get his ass beat, he'd get the hot tag to Kaz, who really only has 4 moves, and moves kind of slow, but in hot tag bursts is great. Then they'd finish it off, and boom, you got yourself a 3.5-star tag team.
Right.
When you rip them apart, I mean, you basically got Kaz getting the 2 stars and Enzo getting the 1.5. So
right. Yeah. One thing that was interesting, John Cena, he actually mentioned Enzo during the Raw talk and shit, basically saying that guys like Enzo is for Enzo, but guys like John Cena is for WWE. Like Enzo, he's the type that if he gets some opportunity outside of WWE, he's fucking gone. That's always how it's been, how it seems with him, because he's like a fucking wrestling socialite. That's what he's been for like the past like year or so at least, because like he's hanging out with all these rappers, like he's in with that EXO crew, that you know, frickin' Weekend's crew of like Weekend, Belly, and Nav, and all those other fuckers, Drake, Maybach Music Group, all those motherfuckers, like all the hip hop guys, French Montana, all those dudes. So he's always trying to rub shoulders with this hip hop crowd. So like, if he has any type of opportunity, he's fucking gone. That's my take on it. Like, he's gonna dip. Like, you had other people who would probably that would return every now and then. The Rock, Batista. John Cena, like, does movies and does wrestling and whatever, but Enzo, he's one of those dudes that when he's gone, he's gone. And the kicker is that if he does leave and becomes, like, popular or whatever, I don't think he's gonna ever come back. Not like...
I'm gonna be like, thank God they took him.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever gonna come back. Like, ever. Like, and I don't think WWE would really want him back. You know? So, yeah. You know? Because, and plus, the crowd that he attracts, that's not WWE's crowd, really. So, like, Enzo's not going to leave and then go Hollywood. He's going to go and do some, like, hip hop. Like, related type shit. I don't know what, but he could be somebody's fucking weed man or fucking hype man or some shit. I'm joking. But, yeah, it always just comes off that way. And, yeah, just his behavior is just annoying. I don't know. So, of course, during Raw, he had, earlier in the night, he talked to Kurt Angle about a celebration and whatnot, and he asked Kurt Angle to make sure he wrote up some documents to make sure that if anybody touched him in the cruiserweight division, that he wouldn't, that person would not be eligible to face him ever for the title. So, when the celebration happened, he, cocky as ever, just talking about how he did it. He's even ramped up the insults. Everybody in the cruiserweight division shows up, and he lays into every single one of them. Calls Cedric like basically no claimed that Cedric has no charisma. He made fun of Grand Metalik's gut or whatever. Joked about.
See,
Drew.
Joked See, about Drew. Grand Metalik can actually do some shit in the ring with a fat. Some of those luchadors be fat at be pretty thick, but they still be doing flips and dives and shit.
Yeah, right.
Super Porky can't even move. Had more in ring wrestling ability than Enzo's ever had.
Right. So there was just this whole thing where he just tore into. I think he even went after Jack Gallagher and Drew Gulak and whatnot, but of course Neville came out Neville was pissed off. He said basically he disrespected everybody, and he has nobody. He has nobody to back him up ever. So Neville came in and he said, "You know what? Screw it," and beat his ass. Beat his ass in and out of the ring. Hit him with a red arrow and peaced out. So Neville is not eligible to compete for the Cruiserweight title.
I think we've established that Neville should be now, with what he's done, should just get moved out of the Cruiserweight division and put on Raw or SmackDown.
Well, we'll see. But after that, that was actually the end of Raw. But after the camera stopped rolling, well, of course, actually after it stopped getting broadcast, they kept filming. Of course, Braun Strowman came out and killed Enzo yet again, because he's done it before, where he's come out and beat the shit out of Enzo. So he picks him up and hits him with a power slam, and invites all the Cruiserweights to come in the ring. And Braun Strowman leaves. The Cruiserweights come in, they're all in a circle, pick him up, start beating him like that fucking scene in Death Proof. Remember that scene?
Yeah. Kurt Russell. One of my favorite Tarantino movies.
Yes. Where they just beat his ass. Like, they beat his ass in a circle. So that's basically what happened. They picked him up, hit him with two airplane spins. Nasty ones. I would have fucking puked after that shit. And he got hit with some super kicks, knee trembler thing from Tony Nese. I forgot what his thing is called, but it has to do with Nese or whatever. And then of course Cedric hit his lumbar check, and Mustafa Ali was about to hit the 054, but Gulak tried to stop him. Because, of course, Gulak had to stay in character. stay in character. Because you know how he has that no-fly zone shit.
Yeah, but Gulak is a dedicated guy.
He's great. He's great. So, but they had... all the Cruiserweights were pleading with Drew to let him do it. Please let him do it. And then they got the crowd to, like, hype it up. And eventually, Drew was like, all right, just this once. And then everybody's like, yay! So he got up and hit the 054 on him. And that was the end.
I saw that part, and I like that Mustafa actually tweeted out hashtag thank you, Drew, on that shit. Because they had that mini feud going, and even though I didn't watch all of it, I did like their 2 out of 3falls, Matt. It's interesting, from the little I've seen at 205 Live, even though I wish they could do more, they actually seem like they do general feuds and storylines in that limited amount of time.
Oh, they do. They do. There's a feud going on with Cedric and Jack Gallagher and Brian Kendrick, because Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher are like a little mentor student thing now. And
yeah, I've been seeing clips. That shit looks good.
Yeah, and then what else is there's the whole thing with Rich Swann and TJP now going on, and of course Drew Gulak is still feuding with everybody who's flying. So he has beef with like Akira, he has beef with Mustafa, and of course his ally is Tony Nese. So yeah, they got shit. So that was the end of what ended up happening on Raw and its aftermath. I'll talk briefly about the 205 Live after I get over SmackDown, but yeah, SmackDown happened. Kevin Owens came out and was waiting for Shane McMahon. He wasn't there, so of course Sami Zayn came out, and of course he's one of the guys who would try to point out, try to be the voice of reason or whatever for him to stop before it's too late. Of course, that didn't help. Daniel Bryan would eventually announce the main event as Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. After that was Ty Dillinger versus Baron Corbin. That ended up with Baron Corbin winning by countout because he threw Ty Dillinger into AJ Styles, who was ringside. And then, of course, he later announced that he wants AJ at Hell in a Cell for the title. So I guess that's one of the title matches at Hell in a Cell, besides the Hell in a Cell match of Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon and the New Day versus Usos. After that, Jinder Mahal came out, talked his shit, mocking Nakamura once again, but this time Nakamura actually decided to come out. They got the scrapping. Nakamura actually hit him with the Kinshasa. And after that, Hype Bros faced the Usos, and you know who won that one.
Real quick.
Yeah.
There was one thing I want to point out, but I thought this was interesting. Nakamura travels with Sin Cara. Did you see that?
No.
And that reminds me.
The only thing I noticed.
I guess of some of the. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I said the one thing I did notice is that Shinsuke goes surfing with fucking James Ellsworth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, when I saw that, it reminded me of something like Jericho and Cody were talking about, like, they were talking about how John Cena used to have some very strange travel partners.
Yeah.
Like, he used to travel with Ted DiBiase and Cody simply because he liked to drink with Ted DiBiase. And Cody would be the, he would drink with Ted DiBiase and Cody would have to drive them.
Oh, wow.
Or that he used to travel with, like, Funaki and stuff, too. You know, before he had a bus. I find the some of that stuff interesting. Who the guys would travel with each other.
That doesn't seem weird to me. Like, John Cena doing that. It doesn't seem weird to me, because that's something that I would probably do.
Yeah, I just find those pairings kind of interesting, because, you know, when, you know, the big guys or might travel with either the younger stars or stuff like that. Yeah. I want to hear more travelers. I know why. I remember Mark Henry said he stopped traveling with people a long time ago. I understood why.
Yeah.
But I find those the pairings kind of interesting. And yeah, the Nakamura Ellsworth thing is fascinating too.
Yeah. Yeah, this it's random. I didn't even know Ellsworth could fucking surf. Who fucking surfs in Maryland? Who the fuck surfs in Maryland?
Apparently Ellsworth does.
Like, bitch, like the best place, the best possible place people would surf in Maryland is the Eastern Shore, and I don't even think the waves are anything over there. So I guess he learned. He learned eventually. I don't know. But yeah, I mentioned Hype Bros and Usos. Of course, Usos won. After that, they had talked their shit to the New Day, who was ringside. Well, actually, they weren't ringside. They were over the barricade on the opposite end with the fans. But then the New Day announced that, yeah, their match was definitely going to happen, but it's going to happen in Hell in a Cell. So now there's two Cell matches. There's the Shane Kevin one and the tag team title match.
Just do the whole damn pay per view in the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I don't know.
Arthur just retweeted some website. It had Vince McMahon in front of sitting, and there's like a portrait behind him. Well, I guess it's supposed to be a portrait of Vince McMahon. But Dave Meltzer said, "I always knew Vince had a portrait of me at 30 in his home."
Okay. Shit, what else happened? Yeah, they had the Bulgarian celebration for Rusev. Aiden English came out because he was the master of ceremonies. He started singing the Bulgarian national anthem. And they had, like, the mayor of Rusev's hometown there. They were presenting him the key to the city, which looked like freaking paper. It looked like paper painted gold, like cardboard paper painted in gold or something like that. And they did all this shit, and of course Randy Orton came out, RKO'd Aiden English, fought off Rusev and then hit him too, blah blah blah. Charlotte.
Where is Randy Orton gotta ruin a good thing?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Charlotte Flair faced Carmella. Of course, Charlotte won. After that, you heard the Undertaker's theme music come out. But of course, it was fucking Dolph Ziggler. He badmouths Undertaker for a little bit. And then Bobby Roode comes out. And he basically challenges Dolph Ziggler to a match at Hell in a Cell. So they will be facing each other. So that's another match added to that pay-per-view. Which is funny because no one really seen Bobby Roode in like how many weeks now, but he finally popped up again.
Yeah, the writing on SmackDown sounds like they forgot they got certain guys to deal with too.
Right. And then after that, there was the Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn match. Winner was Kevin Owens because of course they had to stop it after Owens powerbombed Sami onto the apron again and killed him. After the match went down, he wasn't done with Sammy. He put the chair around his neck, kind of like how whatchamacallit does that shit. Like
Evil?
Yeah. But he was just gonna. I think he was gonna toss him into the ring post. But ended up getting stopped. Shane McMahon.
Sometimes Evil does that, but he always was better when Evil hits it off of them.
Yeah, like a freaking bat. But Shane McMahon came out and he did this funny full sprint to down the ramp, but then Kevin Owens pushed Sami Zayn into Shane McMahon and the chair smacked him right in the face. Like I thought he almost busted his shit. But that would have been bad if it went any type of way. But Shane was all right. Kevin Owens ended up hopping out of the crowd, into the crowd, and escaped and whatnot. And that was the end of SmackDown. So that was that. 205 Live went down. Enzo came out. He had one crutch, bandaged arms, and all this other bullshit. He was talking his shit, and of course, it was basically a whole heel promo, but. At the same time, he was mentioning his mom in the crowd, which you want to say would garner him sympathy, but he was still a fucking dick the night before, so he still deserved it. which is funny because that's what fans eventually started chanting: "You deserved it." but of
at
course,
least fans are getting on board on shitting on him, which is what I've been waiting for.
Yeah. And, yeah, so he went on this heel rant for a little bit and saying that basically the 205 Live wouldn't be shit without him, and that since everybody fucking touched him, that nobody's getting the title. He's putting the title on ice. He's basically going to retire as a Cruiserweight champion. So that's the situation right now. Eventually, what ends up happening after that? Not too much went down besides him, like insulting Neville and other shit. But after that, Gulak came out. Tony Nese faced Tozawa. Tozawa ended up picking up the victory on that one. Backstage, Enzo came out and he was trying to just chill out. And of course, Daivari came out. And since he's a heel, he basically just said that the only reason he joined in on that shit was because everybody else did. And he actually likes Enzo, and blah, blah, blah. And that. And he basically ended up becoming Enzo's minion. So. After that,
can't trust Daivari. Let's just be honest.
What?
You can't trust the Daivari.
Yeah, you can't. After that, TJP faced Lince Dorado, but actually it didn't happen because Rich Swann came out before the match even happened and started beating up on TJP. They had a recap from the last week. Where Cedric Alexander got attacked by Jack Gallagher after his match with Brian Kendrick. And Kendrick and Jack were backstage and cut this menacing promo or whatever in the dark and shit. Which is actually pretty cool. And of course, Neville faced Daivari in the main event with Enzo at ringside. Neville ended up submitting Daivari, only for Enzo to seemingly be a little bit better after his beatdown or whatever, and just basically took the crutches and beat the shit out of Neville with his crutches. So he assaulted the fuck out of him and blindsided him with that shit. So that ended up ending 205 Live. Yeah. Yeah.
Lots and lots of stuff. And then we got Hell in a Cell, and then after that, I believe we have...
Wait, what? Maybe one more pay-per-view before Survivor Series?
Is there one more? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's TLC before Survivor Series, I think. Cause it's
all right, so Hell in a Cell, TLC,
Hell in a Cell, yeah, Hell in a Cell, TLC, then Survivor Series, I believe.
So, and it's, so we're getting two gimmick pay-per-views, and then we're going to get the one that used to be a gimmick pay-per-view that they don't do anything with.
Yeah, basically.
Maybe we'll get a Raw versus SmackDown traditional Survivor Series match. Wait, yeah, that sounds about right. Sounds like something they do.
Yeah.
Remember the year they did that, and I think Bray Wyatt won for his team?
What's up?
There was a year they did that, and I think Bray Wyatt won for his brand.
What? Was that 2 years ago?
I just remember going, shit, Bray Wyatt won.
I think that was 2 years ago.
Yeah. I like the elimination matches, so hopefully they'll do that.
Yeah, they were still trying to see whether the Four Horsemen shit would go down. I doubt it, but that would still be kind of interesting to see that an elimination match with there.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I mean, WWE has such a big roster now, though. Like, you can see they have all these ideas, but you never know if anything's ever going to get done. Yeah. So, all right, we did New Japan, we did WWE. I guess it's news time, or should I try looking up cards for the weekend? I don't know what the hell's happening this weekend.
I don't know what the hell's going on. The only thing I know about is because it's some local shit. It was MCW is having their Legends event thing on go down on Saturday. I think it starts at like 10 a.m. and it's supposed to be. I think it's supposed to be a convention and then the show. And who's supposed to be there? I think Kevin Nash is supposed to be there. Bubba Ray Dudley, Goldberg, and a whole bunch of random old school legend people are going to be there. So it's a lot of people, actually. Yeah, a lot of folks in there. A lot of them. I just don't have a list of them with me because I don't really care that much. I was going to possibly go to it, but then I have other plans that are more important than that shit. So, yeah.
All right, I'm looking up AAW because I know they have a tournament coming up, but I don't know when it's supposed to happen. I guess they just gave themselves a new website, so that doesn't help. Okay, so the tournament doesn't happen until next week. All right, so, shit, I don't know what's happening this weekend as far as things go. I know PWG, I think, did the entire All-Star Weekend match lineup, but I'm not going to go out of my way to look for that. That's not happening until later in October, I think. So, as far as I'm concerned, no cards for the weekend.
No cards, yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess, news? I'm trying to think. I know I have at least one or two pieces of news.
All right, what you got?
There was the stuff with Flo Sam and WWN Live that happened.
I was about to ask you about that because I know something about it, but not like all the details so far.
This is my understanding, and there's some other stuff spinning out of this. Flo Sam sued WWN, claiming they lied about the amount of live viewers that they get per Evolve show, not necessarily for Shine and FIP, but the Evolve numbers or whatever. Yeah. So
they fudged numbers. Like I think they said that was that was pre agreement.
Yeah,
that was pre agreement. Yeah,
And WWN Live, I believe, countersued Flow Sports because of money issues. I guess they're not quite getting paid or something. So there's been some payment issues with them. And then Flow Sports decided at the last minute to drop all the shows. And this is the same day as Evolve was happening.
Oh, wow.
So Evolve went live on the WWN Live Network like it used to do.
Yeah.
So they still put the iPay-per-views up. But I don't know how they did it with the audience that had already purchased it with Flow Sports, because Flow Sports apparently chose not to give refunds.
Oh, my God.
Which Powerbomb TV, which is the growing iPay-per-view distributor,
right,
sort of took advantage of, because they offered everybody 6 months free of Powerbomb TV if they can give them, like, proof of purchase from Flow Sports.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, Powerbomb TV only airs a handful of stuff, really, a week.
Yeah, yeah.
They have far less stuff, but hey, 6 months free is fucking amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Powerbomb TV is now, I guess, the official video of Beyond Wrestling, because they're the ones that are airing the Beyond Wrestling iPay-per-views now.
Oh, okay.
So they're doing a number of iPay-per-views out of the East Coast. So, and they're also one of the few ones that are bringing in some of the CMLL, like, opening card guys to do shows, too, which is interesting. Because CMLL wrestler Puma King has been visiting the East Coast to do shows for Powerbomb TV. But I thought that was pretty cool of them. Yeah. I guess it also makes sense, because with Beyond, because, you know, Vin Gerard used to wrestle, and he's one of the guys behind Powerbomb TV. So, yeah. So there was that. And then there was a little bit more. Let me pull up. There's an article. But somehow there was a thing leaked from an email leaked from Gabe and Evolve that, I guess, I don't know what was in the email, but it did cause some concern and a little a bit of problems with him, because, you know, he's involved with WWE.
Yeah.
So I guess they had WWE had a contact, like, can't be having emails leak.
Oh, wow.
Let me see. He actually called the people who published it and said, can you, like, take that down or something? And essentially, yeah, Gabe did not have a good weekend.
Yeah,
All right, let's see what
shit happens.
What's in the fucking leaked email? Fightful.com sends email to Evolve Talent regarding transition period. Gives advice on bad habits WWE wants gone. Okay, that's why WWE got involved. Because, you know, he's been helping with getting some guys signed to WWE.
Right.
Generally working with them. So his email was certain stuff to kind of see less of. And I think it also included to suggesting for wrestlers to stop doing certain moves that may cause head injuries or something like that. I wonder if this is the actual email. Okay. Yeah, okay, so here's the email. Hey, everyone, this is an important email, so please read it through. We are about to enter a transition period. A major part of this will be in-ring work. You are all awesome, obviously, or you wouldn't be booked. However, I want to change some things you do in Evolve to make Evolve different and also prepare you for what's next. Sounds like he's basically making it more of a WWE developmental promotion, doesn't it?
Feeder system, basically.
Yeah. I will explain more in person, but this weekend please concentrate on these things. All right, and then he starts, like, bullet marking these. Make every lockup on the show count. This is probably what Regal was tweeting about a few days ago, because I saw him responding to somebody who was dismissing the importance of lockups. So there was a bunch of people talking about the importance of lockups.
Yeah.
So this is probably what Regal was referring to. All right, make every lockup on the show count. I saw Regal last week, and he was at Bola. I was surprised for him to say that he didn't see many good lockups there. Honestly, he said he barely saw one good lockup. And this is something I've heard older wrestlers talk about, even like Stone Cold. I think maybe Daniel Bryan talked about the importance of that first lockup. I mean, and obviously some wrestlers just go hot and strike, but
right.
I guess, you know, they're talking about how some wrestlers don't get in there, like, real snug and feel like they're pushing back and forth. Honestly, he said, I know this might be a surprise, especially some of you were on the show. This is a major thing. It's about starting your matchup with the believability. Please, let's put an emphasis on lockups where you fight for position rather than go into a spot. Don't look into the floor camera at any time. This is a Vince WWE thing. I really don't care if you look into the camera or not, but this is a habit you will have to break as soon as you go to WWE NXT. So you might as well break it now. I can explain this more in person. It's a huge thing there, so don't discount this. Now, this just seems like a stupid-ass Vince petty-ass shit thing. Who cares, right?
Yeah.
I like it when they look at the camera and say shit. Like, one of my favorite things now is when Tama Tonga comes out, and he was making fun of KES, and he was pretending he was on Twitter, and he kept and he looked over and was like, I tweet that bullshit. Stuff like that.
Yeah, because the New Japan guys do that floor camera stuff too. Great. I like that.
Yeah. And they like, especially because they'll be like telling the camera guys to move. I'm about to do some shit.
Yeah.
I mean, Okada will always do before he goes for the elbow drop. He would signal, right? Look at the camera and he signal and move, man. That's where I'm going.
It makes it feel more authentic, to be honest.
Because
it's not, because like, they're like, the way that Vince, I guess, wants it, it just feels like he wants to keep some air of illusion. Only problem is there is no fucking illusion.
Yeah, we know what they're doing. They just have to make it look good, and they have to connect. It's a good way of connecting, too.
Right.
All right, next bullet point. Make every kick, strike, and chop count. I don't mean go in there and beat each other up. Just don't waste your kicks, strikes, chops, and sell it. In addition, consider who your opponent is. Keith Lee is striking you. Sell it bigger than if someone smaller was striking you. That's just wrestling 101.
Right.
Keep the situation and opponent in mind with your selling and how you do kicks, strikes, and chops. Yeah. Next one, don't do cool stuff for the sake of cool stuff. Everything should be about winning the match. I'm not saying don't do cool stuff, but don't do it just to do it. That's, I would, if I was a young wrestler, I would look at Ricochet as an example of a guy who, you know, he has a ton of shit, but almost everything he does is towards to win the match because essentially he's a high flyer, so he wants to come down hard on you.
Right.
Or hit you in the head. Yeah, I know some people say he does cool stuff just the cool stuff, but I don't see Ricochet as that kind of guy, because everything he does is just, like, a lot of it is just hot counter wrestling, especially in tag team matches. He does a lot of cool shit because he's basically taking on two guys at once, so he has to be faster. All right, have it make sense your match. All right, challenge yourself to break your normal routine spots. I don't care that match rating you get on Twitter. This is a small picture stuff. I want everyone to think big picture and long game. I can explain this better in person. I've been traveling with Chris Dickinson a lot lately since we are from the same area now. We have talked about this stuff extensively in the car. I feel he has a good grasp of it and can explain it from a worker's perspective, which I can't. Please get with him on any questions. I also told Chris to take more of a leadership role and point things out, so please be open to what he has to say. Thank you. Well, that's cool. All right. Some other notes. Bell time each night is 8 p.m. Please be at the venue by 5:30. Dallas setting is getting a hotel in a little bit. If you are flying in, we'll tell you where to go. Please remember the Evolve rules when it comes to no swearing, nothing derogatory towards minorities, women, ethnicities, or any other group. All right, here we go. No pile drivers, neck bumps, apron spots, anything that drops you on your head.
God damn, no apron spots.
Yeah. Even though Vince, it seems like you kind of get a couple of those in WWE now, too.
Yeah, they just had like two. At SmackDown, what the fuck?
Yeah, I can understand pile drivers, but let's be honest, everybody takes neck bumps somehow.
Yeah.
And the apron spots, yeah, people are doing apron spots in WWE now. All right, nothing hardcore without permission, that goes without saying. No unprotected HUD butts, well, obviously.
Yeah.
No mic work without permission. Yeah. And be super nice to kids, well, obviously. No guests in your hotel rooms. We are not going to pay for an extra hotel room because someone is your ride or you are bringing someone along. We arrange three per room. We are not budgeted for more hotel rooms. No one gets added to these rooms. It is for the comfort of everyone in the room. I will send you out booking info late tonight. That stuff, more about the transition group. If you need anything, call or text me. The number has been redacted. If you can't reach me, it is emergency contact Excel. So, yeah, no. Most of this is pretty standard, but some of it's very interesting. But yeah, it's definitely them sounding more like a feeder system.
Yeah.
Alright, I'm trying to remember what the other fucking piece of news I have is, but I can't for the life of me remember right now.
Huh.
It's probably something that's not even that important. Alright, whatever. If it comes to me, I'll talk about it. But that's all I got.
Alright, Yeah, let's see what I got. Besides that, Connor from the Ascension and his wife Kristen. I believe she used to be a developmental person, but she eventually left. But they ended up getting married and shit afterwards. But yeah, they're apparently new parents. They have a baby boy named Elijah, which is funny because my my nephew, who was born like a few weeks ago, is named Elijah. So that's really weird. So yeah, congratulations to them. Yeah, nice.
Congratulations,
Connor. And in social media shit. You ever heard of that, like, wrestling journalist, Billy Body?
Yes! This was the other thing I was thinking of, I completely forgot, yeah, but yeah.
Yeah.
I was following that, and that pissed me off.
So, apparently he got let go from whatever publication that he was, writing for.
I want to say it's that Sportskeeda or Sportster.
Yeah,
the one that keeps popping
the...
up on my Facebook feed for some reason, and then I try reading it, and I realize, why the fuck am I reading these
articles?
Yeah,
it might have been that, one of those. But yeah, he did that, and I think he made some comment about, yeah, they let me go, they're trash, they're trash anyway. But Ryan Satin, you know Ryan Satin, he does the pro wrestling sheet and shit.
Yeah, yeah, you said it took a while. See, there's like so many of these guys that sometimes I just forget their names.
Yeah, the only reason that I remember I'll always remember Ryan Satin is because I always remember that he was the one wrestling fan that was on TMZ. And he left TMZ to do his wrestling shit. To run his running podcast.
He went to do more respectable work.
Basically, yeah. Well, not as... Yeah, yeah. It's a little more respectable in the sense that his pro wrestling sheet is still a dirt sheet. But it's not as sleazy as TMZ. So, I guess...
Yeah, I'm mad at myself for the fact that I used to watch that all the time.
Yeah.
It used to be like... Especially when Britney had her breakdown, I keep thinking, like, Carl, why did you watch that for Britney? But at the time, I couldn't turn away. I was just so confused with what was going on with her.
Yeah, but yeah.
Sorry, Britney. I love you.
But yeah, Billy Body, he made the comment about how shitty his posting is, but Ryan Satin replied about, but yeah, you're a pretty shitty person yourself. And Ryan Satin went on a crusade, basically, to make sure that he doesn't get hired anywhere else. So he let places like WrestleZone and other places that do some articles and dirt sheets and shit like that to not hire the guy. Next thing you know, you see this Billy Body guy, like, start spouting off all types of, like, sexist, misogynistic shit, and really, really ugly shit. I think even some homophobic stuff.
I saw that pissed me off, and I know the only time I ever use that word on the show is to point out how shitty some people are. But I actually reported him, and I've only done it for two things: that, and for some reason the stupid NFL ads they keep putting on my fucking Twitter feed.
Right, and then what else? And then he even compared female wrestlers to fucking strippers, because Billy said that, like, I forgot what he said exactly that made that comparison, but it was really fucked up. But of course, he talked about Paige's sex tape. But yeah, this just adds.
My understanding is he's a failed wrestler and at one time a failed porn director too, or something.
Really? Oh, no wonder he's a sleazeball. That makes sense. But yeah.
And that says a lot because, you know, some of those people who work in porn are, you know, guys are supposed to be not that bad. It's the people making porn that are the trouble.
The directors and shit like that. Yeah, like the actors are all right, it seems. But
yeah.
But
you have now in the industry
the
more and more
producers.
Women take control of their own stuff, so
right,
they don't have to
deal
with that crap.
Right.
So yeah, this guy just sounds like a horrid old school dude, kind of like Rob Black from, well, maybe not as bad as Rob Black from the, what was it, the X, Extreme Pro Wrestling, XPW, was it XPW?
It might have been XPW.
Yeah, because Rob Black, that company was a piece of shit, and so was his wife, whom I think I mentioned my friend used to work for XPW,
right.
So
right.
He had to drive her around, Lizzie
right.
Borden.
Right, and then
they went to jail. They went to jail for actual obscenity.
Yeah,
weird.
Yeah. But yeah, this all this just adds to that growing trend of people just being like fans and other people in wrestling just being even more obscene than usual. It's just it feels like it's just growing now, you know?
Yeah, and I've noticed almost the same thing in like the comic book realms too, because now you have I don't know if you heard of them. There's a stupid group called Diversity in Comics, which essentially they hate diversity in comics.
That's the thing. It's because the status it's all going parallel with the status quo changing. As the status quo is changing, more people are starting to express their hate. So you see this in comics, you see this in movies, you see this in TV, you see this in wrestling. Of course, you see this in fucking politics with Trump and all this shit. It's going parallel with all of that shit. As people are trying to make things better for everybody, there's those people, that growing number of people who are climbing out of the fucking surface, they've been fucking underground for like years to try to be the opposition to it.
And it really feels as like it's worse other than outside of politics and people. It really feels worse in the niche mediums like wrestling and comic books.
Yes.
I mean, video games too.
Definitely
video games too. Yeah. With video games and wrestling, a lot of it's very sexist and homophobic. Right. And with comic books, it leans even more to transphobia because there are a handful of like actual trans. One of my favorite comic artists is trans, and some people were trying to come after her.
Wow.
And she doesn't even do main comics, so it makes no sense to me.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me with mainstream comics either. Like, I just don't get it. And they want to blame these things for whatever troubles. And comic books trouble nothing to do with diversity. I can list what the problem with comic books is, and none of it's diversity. And wrestling has problems too, but wrestling right now, even though the ratings may not be the greatest, we are in the most accessible age of professional wrestling right now. People are making fucking money now. Joey Ryan's making money. Young Bucks making money. Sammy Callahan's making money. Shit is actually pretty good.
Sammy Callahan.
Ratings aren't that great.
Speaking of Sammy Callahan, yeah, there's been some like articles and shit like of him basically talking about how big of a success he's been post him quitting WWE. Like, basically, him betting on himself has been for everything for him, basically.
Yeah, he was... I mean, let me be honest. Like, right before he went to WWE, he was pretty much, you know... I wouldn't have been surprised to see him go on and win, like, the CZW title or the PWG title and that stuff, because he was super hot. And he was in line for the AAW title. So he essentially went to WWE right at the moment that he was getting booked by a lot of the top companies.
Right.
And he came back, slid right back in those little top companies, and now he's booking CZW. I believe he's involved with that Wrestling Revolver, maybe.
Yeah, so, I think so.
And he's probably going to New Japan, even though my feelings with Sami Callihan as a worker is kind of mixed.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how that works out if he is the Switchblade character that they're building to. I still don't know when that is supposed to show up, though. Hmm. But, you know, congrats to Sammy. Not my favorite wrestler. You're not my favorite Sammy. But, you know, you do you, man. Make that money.
Make that paper. Oh, yeah.
What got else? Anything else?
Of course.
Well, I found the PWG lineup if we want to talk about that, too.
And besides that, and we're still talking about the Billy Batty shit, but what ended up happening is that, more fans are getting called out for a lot of bullshit, but yeah, he ended up getting his Twitter account suspended, so yeah, he's done for a while. What else?
You're right. People are getting called out. There was a guy who has a podcast, and I guess he does some stuff for House of Glory. Yeah. I forget what the fuck he said, but it was stupid as fuck, too. And it's like, come on, dude. You're on Twitter. What the fuck? You don't think people are going to find this shit?
Right.
I mean, and we talk about we want these companies to do well. Oh, and that Billy Batty thing was even worse, because he was trying to go after, like, Alex Black and shit.
Really?
Yeah, he told, because I looked back at some of his tweets, because Aleister Black came out and dissed him, and now he told Aleister Black to, like, stay in his lane or something.
Oh, really?
He said that when push comes to shove, he'd probably still be at a strip club throwing money at women. Like, who cares if he'd be at a strip club? We're not talking about strippers. We're talking about wrestling.
Hold up. So, he said that he's seen Aleister Black at strip clubs?
No, he said he would still be that kind of guy.
Like, Aleister Black would be that kind of guy?
He would say that, like, Aleister Black is thinking about how he respects women, essentially.
Who the fuck? You know what? These days, no one gives a fuck if you're going to strip clubs and making it rain. You know? Because people actually respect strippers more these days.
Yeah.
So I don't know what
like strippers and respect female wrestlers.
Shit. Look at Cardi B. She got the number one, song in the country, and she was a former stripper. A well-known former stripper.
I just saw the thing about her clapping back at Azalea Banks.
Yeah.
Like, it just made no sense to me. Like, what's this guy's entire point? I mean, who knows if Aleister Black goes to strip clubs? He might. It doesn't change that if he stood up for female wrestlers, good. You can respect both. They're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
There are women doing a job, and, you know, you have to have talent to be a good stripper.
Yeah.
You have to be talented to be a good women's wrestler. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, you have to at least be believable as a porn star, too. You know, even work for their money. And some of it may get looked down on, but they're good at it. They're good at it. You should respect them, regardless.
Yeah.
They're making money, and that's what's important. Yeah. But, you know, these guys are horrible.
Yeah, they're fucking terrible.
They're trolling all these women on free. I saw one guy mad at this video that these porn stars, they were making fun of how guys would try to hit on them in the comment section, but they never leave their contact info. And some guys were really pissed off because they were being sarcastic. And they were like, you know, just going off on them. Like, dude, you just missed the entire joke. You're just looking horrible. Get the fuck off Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't know why I go into comment sections for female models. You know, there's always just assholes.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to not read comments, but I end up doing it anyway. I don't know why I do it. But comment sections are usually filled with trolls and like dudes with pent-up anger issues or some shit.
Yeah. Much respect for the women who have to deal with this shit every day, and the guys who have to stand up and then, you know, have to deal with these trolls trying to come at them. Yeah. Even though most of the time those guys aren't going to go after, you know, straight white dudes.
Yeah.
And most of these guys would definitely not do it to any of those guys' faces. Probably not to many of the women's faces either. I'd like to see one of these assholes try to come at Nia Jax in real life.
Oh, man.
He fucked them up.
Oh, my God. I hate reading comments with her because, like, there's always, like, those people that start fat shaming and shit. I don't know.
She can do more at her weight than most guys can do half of that.
Yeah.
She moves real fast. She is strong. Yeah. I don't know what the whole thing with weight is. I mean, obviously there's unhealthy weight, but there are people who are large, who are fast, strong, and healthy. But, you know, fuck them. Oh, fuck that big fatty guy.
Yeah.
Fuck diversity in comics, too. Fuck
all that. And,
Why do you even call yourself diversity in comics and not be for diversity? It makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah. They're It's a trolling title, man.
Yeah.
It's like clickbait. It's like clickbait, kinda, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, what else? New Day was on Complex. They have their YouTube channel, of course, and
did you hear about Bayley's doing something? The Nintendo Championship, I heard.
No.
WWE just I'll try to see if I can find it. But
anyway,
WWE
in the meantime,
just. Yeah.
The New Day, they went sneaker shopping with Complex, and there was a surprise guest. With Wale, they started talking about all types of sneakers, like the LeBron Hurricanes. They mentioned how they always rep that, like, because Kofi always wears sneakers under his kick pads.
It seems like that's what most reps wear under their kick pads.
Yeah, because, yeah, I think one of the, I think there was, like, one time that he was wearing those Steph Curry's, the ones that people were joking that looked like dad shoes. which is funny, because he's a dad, so, it made sense for him to wear that. But yeah, Wale was there, and he talked about the I think whether Pumas or Asics, the IC title version ones. But yeah, they also talked about the Puma wrestling clubs, and they're just basically talking about hoping that WWE would do more clothing collaborations and shit, because that shit's kind of dope. And so what were you talking about, Bailey and Nintendo?
Yep, she's doing these the upcoming Nintendo Championships, along with actor Asa Butterfield from Ender's Game, which I never saw because the book was great. Yeah, the book is great, but the writer, I found out years later, was like one of the worst homophobes ever. So I couldn't see the movie, and I have a hard time wanting to read the book.
One thing
got a really bad Iron Man comic that really pissed me off. So.
Oh, really? There was one thing that, speaking of people who, like, turned you off, like, I remember I liked that first Jeepers, the Jeepers Creepers movies.
Yeah, I've never seen those, but I know what you're talking about.
I saw both of them, and they were both pretty good, but I ended up learning about the fucking director, him being some type of pedophile or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, the dude
fucking
got...
fucking monster.
He was a fucking pedophile, right? He goes to prison, comes back, and then gets welcomed into, like, Hollywood with open arms like he did nothing wrong. That's fucking wild.
Yeah,
there's supposed to be a new... I think Jeepers Creepers 3 came out this year. That's crazy.
Yeah, I have almost the same feelings with Bryan Singer, because, you know, the guy, X-Men director.
Oh,
because
it's alleged
yeah,
that he's
so
in one of those, like, clubs where like, they get young boys to do shit during parties
yeah.
and
whatnot. I think the guy recanted his statement. I don't know what happened. I just feel kind of... I try to ignore it going into X-Men movies. Like, I'm looking forward to the new Gifted. She directed the first episode, so I'm kind of going in, like,
oh, really?
Try not to think about it. Yeah. But it looks like Bailey and Asa Butterfield will be involved in the Smash Brothers tournament part.
Oh, nice.
So, Asa Butterfield specifically, so,
Smash Brothers,
I guess they're live streaming it, too, so.
Smash Brothers gets, like, no respect whatsoever. Like, I think it'll get respect because it's a Nintendo thing, but, like, if they try to, like, if you ever try to mention, like, Smash Bros., to the fighting game community or something like that, then it's just, like, a whole thing. Because, like, people just, like, shout out about how, oh, it's not a real fighting game and all this other crazy shit. Like,
yeah.
Whatever, man.
I mean, to me, it's a fighting game. I understand it's different in a lot of the other fighting games that have more training and more effort to be really, really good. Smash Brothers being kind of wild like it is, it's a bit more of a button masher, but... if you're good at Smash Brothers, you're still really fucking good.
Right.
But yeah, I saw that today. I was looking it up. You got anything else, or do you want me to do the PWG lineup?
Oh, I got shit.
Okay.
What else? TM61, apparently they may actually have, like, a manager now. Like, they were photographed at a live event. Like, they had some, like... nerdy dressed girl. She had some knee pads on, so she looked like she could be a wrestler at some point. I don't know, but she was like a nerdy looking girl, and she was their manager. Her name was Jessie or whatever. So it should be interesting to see.
I'll look that
goes.
Up. They added a woman to
you can look it up.
CFO?
But you won't what
are they called? CFO? The Fish, Cole, and O'Reilly.
They're Undisputed Era.
Okay, I think they have a woman in their group, or they're gonna have a woman in their group.
Oh, I know.
Because
that's a spoiler. That's an NXT TV spoiler.
Yeah. So look out for that.
But yeah, I'm mentioning TM61. So I don't. And then, like, if you're looking up Jesse, you won't find who the fuck she is. Like, there's no info on her whatsoever. So, what else?
I'm sure Reddit has theories.
Maybe. I don't know. Because there's pictures of her, but, like, you don't know who the fuck she is. And then, what else? Ric Flair, he claims that he had sex with roughly 10,000 women in his lifetime, which they say is possibly, like, 3 women a week or something like that. Ron Jeremy has come forward and claimed that, yeah, that's not Yeah, I doubt that he did that ever.
Well, who knows? He could be like, I mean, I wouldn't put him above 1,000, but
if he's like rough and he's if that's the case, then like he did a lot of fucking cheating while he was married.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. He's been married with like 4, 5, 6 times.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's not surprising.
I mean, and if you remember with him being when he was the NWA champion and he had to travel so much.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but yeah, I doubt it was 10,000. I doubt it.
Just be rounding up.
Because he said roughly. He said roughly, but I doubt it.
He's had been married 4 times.
Wow.
His longest was... it's hard to say. I guess his longest was his second wife. And his shortest was his third wife. Apparently he had a ring named the Black Scorpion? I'm curious about that.
The Black Scorpion.
It's a professional wrestling gimmick in 1990, played by a variety of wrestlers. The character had a feud with Steam, which lasted from fall to winter. Okay.
Right.
He was a masked wrestler?
Oh, wow. That's funny. What else news? Apparently the Bennetts are expecting. So
yeah, congratulations to them too.
Yeah, so Mike and Maria. Yeah, that's cool stuff. And
what a beautiful relationship.
Yeah. And then what else? Yeah, Cody Rhodes has apparently officially signed OH. So
congratulations to him too.
We were just talking about that, how he hasn't been signed, but now he is signed. I don't know, like Bullet Club, Cody Rhodes. Me personally, I'm still on that thing where like Bullet Club to the extent that I like Omega.
You like the Japanese extension?
I like Omega, Fale, God.
I like Takahashi. He's not great, but he's
right.
Fun in tag matches.
Takahashi's all right, and Chase Owens is okay. But most of the American extension of it, I really don't care for or dislike. Like, the Young Bucks, I don't care. They're annoying to me. Hangman Page, I don't care for. Marty, of course, he's from the UK, but I don't care for him that much either. And then Cody Rhodes. And then one thing I always noted with Cody Rhodes is how, like, he is average as fuck, but he gets so much hype around him. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's been able to play to his strengths with his ability to get heat and his...
And his name.
And... Yeah, and he's probably one of the top promo guys right now on the indie scene.
Yeah.
Or semi-indie, I don't know. It's kind of hard with Ring of Honor and New Japan to put them... I guess they're still top guys.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the Bucks deliver, always deliver. Skrull can deliver if he's not playing too much to his character. Hangman's okay. I don't like him nearly as much as I like Takahashi or... Chase Owens, but in that secondary tag role, I think he's perfectly...
Yeah. Hangman always feels like a utility player to me.
Yeah, which is basically Chase... He's the utility player in the U.S. version of Bullet Club, and Chase Owens is the utility player in the Japanese version.
Yeah.
And Takahashi's sort of the Bullet Club gatekeeper. He's he's high enough that he can score wins on guys, but he's low enough that they can use him to advance talent.
Right.
So, I mean, they have, you know, because that's just the construction hand, how they have their stuff. Fale's the monster. God is the tag team. You got Chase Owens and Takahashi to fill out in various roles that need to be filled out. And Omega's the star. It'll be interesting. And I guess Leo Tonga now is the ball guy. And, dude, he is big. I hope they do some good stuff with Leo Tonga. They should just give
the Tongas the Trios titles. Yeah. And besides that, what else I got? Yeah, I got nothing else.
All right, I'll go through this just real quick, people. if they're interested, and I'm sure we'll go through this again. PWG next shows is All Star Weekend. A bunch of the guys who made their debuts at Bola will be returning, like Joey Janela. Morgan Webster will be back. Adam Brooks will be making his debut. I think he's another one of the CCK guys. Walter will be making his return. Sammy Guevara. Jonah Rock will make his return. We got Trent making his return after a while being away. And then Ricochet will challenge for Chuck the title against Chuck Taylor on night two. I wouldn't be surprised if Taylor loses it in his first title defense. I mean, they haven't had a short run of champion in a long time. They've seemingly gone through a long champ. Well, let's see. They had Cole for a long period of time. O'Reilly had a short run, but he still had several defenses. Then Roderick had it for a while, and then Zach had it for a long time. So I wouldn't be surprised if he dropped it to Ricochet. And those got enough history that it would make sense. But yeah, that's all the major points. They do have the video previews for the entire Bola up. I haven't ordered it. I might. I'm actually trying to calm down with watching some wrestling. I do still want to watch King of Trios because I'm a Mako Satomura mark. Oh, and that reminds me, YouTube is getting rid of paid channels. So if you're a wrestling company who uses paid channels, once again, YouTube is fucking you over.
Wow. So, because I think they're trying to consolidate everything into fucking YouTube Red.
Yeah. So that Nico Pro channel I talked about, the Japanese one, because they wanted to go on YouTube, they might be leaving again. So the guys who've been bootlegging all the stuff for the, what is it? I forget what they call it. The the Google Drive thing.
Yeah.
They got the heads up. So the guy was like, "Well, we did back all their shows just in case, but now we are going to have to go to the actual Japanese one and steal it." And he contacted the other guy in the group. Was like, "You ready to go back to watching Nico video in Japan?" And the guy's like, "God damn it." Because apparently watching it on the actual Japanese channel is just much harder than it was to watch it on the YouTube stream.
Wow.
So they're not necessarily happy about that, but they will be back at it. So more props to the Real Hero Archives for possibly picking up the slack, because once again, YouTube is screwing professional wrestling. Yep, I think that's it.
All right. So,
I guess we got our plugs. So next week, starting what, Sunday or Monday? It's Halloween time for me. So horror movies galore. Nice. I will be plugging my blog, which I haven't actually written in since G1 Climax Tournament finished. But I'll be doing the weekly update about what I'm watching with brief reviews. But I'll also go over it when I have time on here. So enjoy. So if you're like me, enjoy yourself a bunch of horror films. Other than that, you can catch me on Twitter. I'm at CM Towns, I believe. And on Instagram, I'm at Westside.Goth. I have a Facebook, but I don't fucking care about that. I have two Tumblrs, one I don't use and one I just post comic book shit on. If you care about it, it's Comic Book Women, Tumblr Comic Book Women, whatever. If you're into, you know, comic books and shit. And that is it for plugs from me.
All right. Of course, you can check us out on rantandradio.com. You can follow Rant and Radio on Twitter. On their website, you can listen live to the Rant, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Freaks and Effing Geeks. You can, of course, listen to us on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, pre-recorded, and listen to archived past episodes of our show and others on the website as well. For me, doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube as my primary channel, secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG's Gorilla. Also, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. That's it.
Yep.
So, we're going to end on this note. Hey, 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 hey. Smoke weed every day.